You know, some of you, I know, I recognize your face, but you have grown much younger. So it's good to see you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for each and every person you have brought here, Lord, because you have called us by name. We are yours. We are your sheep, the flock of your pasture. So, Lord, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit to come now and fill us with your presence and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to understand, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. And in Jesus' name, we bind the devil over our lives, over this service, over our families, over this church, in the name of Jesus. And we say, be gone from our lives. Be gone from our bodies, our minds, our wills, our emotions, in the name of Jesus. And may everything I say and everything we do be from the Spirit of the Lord. Not from the flesh, but from the Spirit. And most of all, we give you glory. For you are the Holy One of Israel. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. You are the Lion of Judah. And at the name of Jesus, as it says in Philippians 2, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We have to go to the first. Good. Okay. Always good and confusing, huh? I like to keep you confused. Okay. So, today I'm going to talk about this. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And what does this mean? And this was part of the scripture we read today. Next one. So in this scripture, we have a very simple thing. This is called the Transfiguration. There are key moments in the life of Jesus, and this is one of them, where he went up on a mountain and he was transfigured. There are two times when God the Father appeared to Jesus. The first one was, do you know? You're all the same. Nothing has changed. Okay, the first one was the time that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, okay? And the second time was called the Transfiguration on the mountaintop. And on the mountaintop, Jesus went up with his disciples, and suddenly, Jesus was there, and on one side was Louis Tay. Other side was Deaconess Juntan. No, one side was Moses, and the other side was good. See, people up front know. That's why they're up front. People in back, Moses on one side, Elijah on the other. Okay. And so what happened was that Peter did the typical thing that Peter does. You know, Peter always does these kind of wild things. Except I have to be very careful about what I say about Peter, because I found out that he controls the gate to heaven. So you don't want to say too many bad things, you know? Because you get up there and Peter says, Ozawa, I remember you. You always made fun of me, huh? I'm going to make fun of you today. But Peter said, okay, let's build a tent, a shelter, three of them. And why is that? Well, the shelter in the wilderness was where, called the tent of meeting, where God used to be. So if God is there, you build a building and a shelter or someplace for God. So he wanted to build three shelters, one for Moses, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah. But Jesus didn't want that. And here's a reason. Because actually, God does not live in a tent. He doesn't live in a building. And I say, this is one of my favorite buildings around the world. I go to many nations, but I love the cathedral. This is so beautiful. I've always loved it from the first day I walked in. But God is here, but God is also out there. You see, Jesus is even in your automobile. And if you don't have an automobile, like I don't, then God is in the MRT. Maybe not every MRT, but most of them. And God is in the bus. And God is with you when you're walking. And God is with you in your home, wherever you live. God is not limited to a tent. So that's the first thing to know about this scripture. That God is saying, wait. You know, I don't live there. The second thing was that happened was in this scripture, you see that a voice from heaven appears. This is a voice of God. This is one of those few times when God speaks audibly and his voice is heard. And God says, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. He said this before. When did he say this before? I know you know. He said this before. When? In the baptism, correct. So, two times, God says a very important thing, that Jesus is his son. And he loves him. He loves him. And he's pleased with him. And he said this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and at the end of the ministry. Because the relationship between Jesus and his Father is one of great love. Great love. In fact, you know, that's the relationship of God with you. The relationship with us is very simple. God the Father loves you. Yes, you. Male and female, young and old, God loves you. And that is the key to God. It's his love for you. And then he says, at the very end of that, in this scripture, he says, and listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Whatever Jesus says, listen to it. In other words, read the words that Jesus said. And finally, the disciples fall down and he says, don't be afraid. And they look up and Moses is gone and Elijah's gone. And only one remaining is Jesus. Why is that? What happened? This is God's way of saying that Moses, who represents the law, is gone. You know, Christianity is not a question of following laws. It's not even a question of doing the right thing all the time. So, it's not the law. And then he says, it's not even the prophecies, the miracles. Elijah did a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. And both the Bible and signs and wonders are great, but that's not important. Ultimately, it comes down to Jesus. Okay, next one. This is not the transfiguration. This is my family in Singapore. You know, since I've been here, an amazing thing happened. The young lady in the middle is my daughter. The big tall guy next to me is her husband. He is huge. I don't know if all Ang Mo are huge, but he's huge. He's above me. And then next to her, my wife, you might recognize her with the silver hair. And next to that is my granddaughter, who almost is as tall as my wife. And she's only 11 years old. She's getting big like her father. And then two of my grandsons. I have other grandchildren, other children, but this is one group, and they are in a place called Singapore. Do you recognize the place? Some of you do, some of you don't. But this is there in Singapore. So now my daughter and my grandchildren are in Singapore. How they got here, God just sovereignly sent them here. So my daughter and I were having a conversation the other day, and she said, you know, Pa, God must be a strange God because of all the places in the world, God sent you to Singapore, and then when you left, God sent me to Singapore. So I don't know what that means, okay? So it's just strange, but it sounds like God. Anyway, I'm back here also. So something about Singapore, I don't know what it is. It must be the makan. Next one. This is our church in America. It's the Anglican church. Next one. That's a picture of us. Just like all of you, every Sunday I have to wear a white robe. But anyway, I'm so happy I don't today. But we wear white robes and we all process in. And just like, you know, just like the old days here. Next one. And this is my wife and I. You recognize, some of you may recognize her. And that's us. And next one. This is me in a place that I spend a lot of time. It's a training center in Japan for people from Africa and Asia. And we're teaching them about organic farming and community development. Next one. And this is, and still, even at my age, at my young and tender age, I'm not old, you know, I'm just mature. But I'm still climbing mountains and still preaching in the jungle. In fact, in a few weeks, I'm going to be back in the jungle of Borneo. But this is a picture of me back here after I climbed the mountain to preach. But you see, I was too tired. I couldn't preach. That's what happens when you get mature. But I still do that. I still go into the ulu, we call it. Or some people call it the ulu ulu, which means very upriver, way in the forest. Next one. Fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, 2. In other words, they only saw Jesus. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Next one. And this is the transfiguration we're talking about. So, I go to many countries in many places with many people. And what I have found is a very simple thing. The Christian church everywhere is strong if it focuses on Jesus. But many places around the world, the Christian church focuses on all kinds of things. Good things, but all kinds of things. And they focus on politics. And they focus on laws. And they focus on poor people. Or they focus on programs. Or they focus on eating. Or they focus on a building. Or they focus on numerous things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Or they focus on the Old Testament, studying the Old Testament thoroughly. Or they focus on the second coming in the book of Revelation, Daniel and Ezekiel. And there's nothing wrong with all that. But, or they focus on Paul and the book of Romans. But God told me, one day, if the church does not come back to Jesus, it's going to have trouble. And that's also for us, for you and for me. Because we as Christians, we can do a lot of things, but we don't focus on Jesus. We don't read the Gospels. We read a lot of Bible. We read many things, but we don't read the story of Jesus. So I want to recommend that you keep your eyes on Jesus. Every day you read from one of the Gospel stories of Jesus. I call it reading the red. Read the red, which is the words of Jesus. Next one. Next. And so even though we've never seen Jesus, even though we don't know him, he is the reason we are here. He is our Lord. He is a reason that we are who we are. Only Jesus. We're not here because of Paul. You know, I was here with a man the other night who is an evangelist. And every time he said something, he said, you know, the Apostle Paul said da, 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 da. And I said, wait. What did Jesus say? He said, no. The Apostle Paul said da, 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 da. And I said, I know what the Apostle Paul said. I said, well, what did Jesus say? He said, you know, but it is written in Ezekiel, so forth. I said, I know, but what did Jesus say? And every time, and finally he got angry at me. He said, Ozawa, what's your problem? All you want to do is know what Jesus said. And I said, yes, that's true. I want to know what Jesus said. And you're not telling me. You're telling me all this other stuff, which is true. But sometimes it's not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus did. Now, I'm going to step out on a bit of a theological limb in the Anglican Church by saying this. You know, Jesus loved women. I know. It's a shocking thing, you know. But Jesus, you know, when Jesus was resurrected, the first person he appeared to was a woman. And you know, the first person that Jesus announced that he was the Messiah, he announced it to a woman. And the person that anointed him and prepared him for his crucifixion was a woman. So women, say hallelujah. Now, come on, women. Say hallelujah. Good. Men, say hallelujah. You see, I don't know what Paul, you know, Paul said women should be head covered and be silent. You know, that would cause trouble in my household. If I told my wife, you know, according to Paul, you must be silent now. I don't think I'd last very long, you know. But really, Jesus talked to women. He listened to women. He told them things. He prayed for them. He healed them. And when women asked him to pray for their children, he went and he did that. And two of his best friends were Mary and Martha, two women. And the woman that he was devoted to was Mary Magdalene. And when he was at the cross, he honored his wife, his mother. Excuse me, no wife. No wife. His mother, who was a woman, you see? So if you go to Paul, you can get all kinds of nonsense about women covering. I noticed none of you women have your head covered. I don't think I'm looking at it. That means that you're not following Paul. But Jesus didn't tell the women, hey, I'm not going to talk to you. Put something on your head first. See, Jesus loved women. He honored women. He obviously loved men. He loved everybody. And he treated them with great dignity. Next one. But what happens is, the Bible parable of the sower says that worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word. So there are two things that keep us from Jesus. One is our anxieties, our fears, you know, and the other one is wealth, money. I have some rich friends. Not many, but I have some. If you're rich, you want to be my friend, Ken. But you see, when you have so much money, you have everything, you don't need God, you know. If you have everything you need, everything you ever wanted, you don't need Jesus. All you need is your CPF. Your CPF and your landed property and your 5 C's, or for some people, 10 C's, you know. But you don't need Jesus. Because who needs Jesus? I have everything I want. I'm not worried. I have no anxiety or fear. But if you have nothing, if you're sick, if you're dying, if you're desperate, the first thing you do is you cry out to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help me. And then if he gives you $1 million, no need. Thank you, Jesus. Bye-bye. Next one. So Jesus told us to follow him. Next. To go with him. be with him. Just to be with him, to love him, next one, to talk to him, to share. This is one of my favorite pictures because this is Jesus. He's not doing a miracle. He's not multiplying bread. He's not healing the sick. He is just being friends with this young man. And that is who Jesus is. You don't have to do a miracle with him. You don't have to go and get on your knees before him. You just need to be with him. Just sit with him. Talk to him. Walk with him wherever you go. Next one. And what did Jesus say? Because the Father loves him, he said, we must love one another just the way that he did. So we must do the same thing. We must go out and love people and walk with them and talk with them and share with them. Next. And Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came for people who have emotional problems, people who are depressed, people who are anxious. People think Jesus came to raise the dead, which he did, but he also came just to simply talk and to listen to people who have problems. So you can tell your problems to him every day, whatever problems you have. That's what he came for, to comfort all who mourn. Next one. And so Jesus again came just to sit with people and talk with people and listen to people. And I ask you to do the same thing. Sit with people, talk to them, eat with them, listen to them. That's what it means to follow him. Next. And we are to go wherever he went, wherever there is pain, wherever there's people around you who need somebody just to sit down with them and talk to them. That's where we're called to go. Next. This is a hospital where I am a volunteer chaplain. Next one. That's me, because when we go into the rooms, a lot of times we have to dress like this because if we spread germs, people could die. Next one. And this is a church, an Anglican church in Tawa. And I preached in this during Easter. And I've been praying for sick people there. And here I was preaching at Easter. Next one. And this woman came for prayer. Her name is Jacqueline. And she had what we call meningitis. Jacqueline was a nurse, a healthy nurse in her 20s. She contracted meningitis and she was supposed to die. She was then, people came and prayed for her and she had medical treatment, but still she's in terrible shape. And much of the church gathered around to pray for her, because she was a nurse in the local hospital, very healthy person. But this meningitis can be fatal. She can die. So this is her in the middle. You see her picture, her photo. People praying for her. Next one. And so I asked people to come and pray for this lady, Jacqueline. And she also had all kinds of strange movements, involuntary movements, tremors. And it was very hard even to pray for her. But people did. Next one. Then this lady came up, and this is her mother. And her mother came up to an altar call and said, I'm Jacqueline's mother. I want to accept Jesus. Wow. How wonderful, huh? The mother. She said, you know, I have watched all of you. I watched how you love my daughter. You know, that's good. And if that's what it means to follow Jesus, I want that. So that night, her mom accepted the Lord because she saw the love of all the people in the church and how much they cared for her daughter. Because they didn't know her, you know, but they cared for her. Next one. And then I went to their house, and that next day, Jacqueline accepted the Lord. I didn't know she was not a Christian, but she wasn't. And she accepted the Lord. And her tremors stopped, but she was still in the wheelchair. But she could talk a little bit. And she said, you Christians really love me. I've never had so much love in my life. And so my mother has become a Christian, and I also. Hallelujah. Now, she's not physically healed yet, but she's spiritually a new person, and her mother is spiritually a new person. And so, so much of what God does is because of that. Next one. These are people in need. These are, 2 years ago, I was in the Middle East. These are Syrian refugees. Next one. And again, we went to all the refugees to pray for them, to meet with them, not to evangelize them, not to make them Christians, but to care for them because God loves them. And these children had no food. The mother, each child had one piece of pita bread, you know, one round piece of bread a day, and cut into three parts, one for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner. They had nothing. But we talked to them. They didn't even know about prayer. We prayed if they wanted to, but otherwise we just talked to them. The lady, women cried because of the pain they'd been through from Syria. Next one. This is in Myanmar. I also went to Myanmar a few years ago and into Thailand, West Thailand and Myanmar to minister to the Karen refugees. The Karens are Christians being persecuted by the Burmese army. Next one. And so we went to minister to them, to care for them, to love them. And the children, you know, they just wanted to play and they just wanted somebody to pay attention to them. What they wanted was somebody to love them. Next. And that's all. I'm finished. That's all. It's all about love. It's all about Jesus. And that's what life to me is about. And so when I leave here, I'm going back to Thailand to work with some people. Then I'm going to Borneo with one of the poor tribal people. And I'm coming back here for a few days. Then I'm going to America to work with some very sick people in the hospital. Then I'll be back here again. Somebody asked me, where am I? I said, I don't know. Where are you going? I said, I don't know. They said, Ozawa, where do you stay? I said, well, right now I'm in Bishan. I call myself the Bishan uncle. That's because everybody calls me uncle. I thought that was my name lah. They say, hey, uncle, come. Uncle, sit down. Uncle, what do you want to makan? So I said, kopi si kosong. That's my favorite, okay? But it's all about just going places and loving people and caring about them and eating with them and sharing with them in the name of Jesus. Okay, everybody stand up. Those of you who are asleep, wake up. Some of you sleeping, it's okay. God loves you anyway, but I could see you, except for the ones on the side. That's a good place to hide. Okay, so I want you to lift up your hands like this. I'm just going to pray for you all. I'll pray for you all. And you can close your eyes or open your eyes. It doesn't matter. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to receive the love of the Father for us. Fill us with your love, that we might be filled with your love and go forth with your love. Lord, if we are sick, minister to us. If we need you, fill us. Those of people who here have a physical problem, lay hands on the part of your body that needs healing. Just put your hand on whatever part of your body needs healing, and I'm going to pray for your healing right now. So, Lord, all the people who need healing, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the devil over your body. We say, be gone from your body in the name of Jesus. Be gone, and spirit of death and destruction and infirmity and generational spirits of death and destruction and infirmity, be gone from your body in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing to your body right now. And if you have an emotional issue, or you're anxious or fearful about someone in your family, or depressed about anything, just put your hand on your heart. Don't look at one another, just put your hand on your heart, and I'm going to pray for you. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of anxiety, fear, and depression. In Jesus' name, be gone. Hopelessness, be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, fill us with your love. Fill us with your peace. Fill us with the presence of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to us. Thank you, Lord. May we also go forth in his name to do what he did, to heal the sick, to talk to people, to care for them, to listen to them, to be with them. And when we look up, may we only see Jesus. When we wake up, may we only see Jesus. When we go to sleep, may we only see Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your blessings. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.